Blog Talk Radio.
Armed Forces, the men, women, and police and fire services, by Dr. Kathleen Carroll, private, a board-certified psychiatrist in private practice since 2003. Dr. Carroll previously was the director of inpatient services at the Bay Pines VA Hospital, the Bay Pines VA Medical Center. Dr. Carroll specializes in the treatment of children ages 6 and older and the treatment of adults, in other words, from the womb to the tomb. She's also an all-time triathlete, so if you're having any problems breaking through in any type of athletics, give her a call at her office or make an appointment to see her. If you're having any problem with the life, if you feel, especially this time of year, people start to feel a little down, you give her a call at 813-689-2466 or see her at her office at 336 East Bloomingdale Avenue in Brandon, Florida. We're starting out a little different tonight. We're going to dedicate this show to a young lady I had the pleasure of meeting back in 1982 as she was a track star at Howard Career Center with my son, Bob, who was the founder of this program. Artie was a track star. She was went on to the from Howard. She went to University of Pittsburgh, where she ran track and field. She had a smile that could melt an iceberg, but she had a way with her that could cajole anybody to do anything. She's going to be greatly missed. Artie never backed away from anything. She on September 29th, seventh of this year, two of her friends, Lieutenant Chris Whelan and Lieutenant, or, I'm sorry, Captain Chris Wheeler and Lieutenant Jerry Ficus of the Wilmington Fire Department were battling a fire. Artie was handling the engine for Engine Company 5. The call came in, those two were trapped in the cellar. Artie went right in to the building. Unfortunately, she was burned over 70% of her body. And last Saturday, she succumbed to those burns. To the Hope family, we send our deepest condolences from everybody at on our program and all our affiliates. That was a thank you for indulging me on that. We're going to call Dr. Chris and get Dr. Chris on, and we're going to get started with the program. We're going to call him on air, which is something we usually don't do. Seem to be having some technical difficulties tonight, the one thing we're going to have tonight on our program, we're going to be talking to David Feldman, who is bringing boxing back to Wilmington Arena this year. Davey is going to run a program that will be have Roy Jones Jr. in it, and another good friend of ours, a young fighter, Joey Tiberi. Joey, as you know, is from the Tiberi family that his Uncle Dave, his dad, his Uncle Mario, they all fought, and they all did very well. So hey, Chris.
You, Frank.
Yeah, there you
ready?
Are. Yeah,
yeah.
Ready?
Yeah, ready. I'm just watching the end of the Army-Navy game here. I was
up
on Route 1 when you called.
Uh-huh.
Looks like a good game.
It is. It was a very good game and a very close game. A little sloppy in parts, but
yeah, well,
it's cold up there.
You know, they're not the two greatest teams, but they're trying. What
yep,
are you going to
yep.
do?
That's right. Chris, what did you think of the Kovalev fight last week?
Well, here's what I thought. Kovalev is a very poor defensive fighter. He's an amateur. I didn't realize it.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't know where to hold his hands. He holds his right hand too low
mm-hmm.
and his left
right.
hand too low after he jabs. Ward was able, after Ward got staggered and was beat up in the first four rounds, he was leaping in with left hooks, and Kovalev was backing up with his hand down on the top of his chest, and he was scoring a few points here and there, and he wound up, you know, stealing a decision. He didn't really win that fight. That should
right.
have been no worse than a draw.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back, but I didn't realize Kovalev, when you charge him, he jumps back, and the reason why
yeah.
he doesn't know where to hold his hands. For when a guy's leaping in, you're supposed to put your right hand up alongside the side of your head and protect
sure.
yourself with your left shoulder and dip down a little bit, hope you can counter. He jumps back. And Ward was able to land a lot of left hands and steal a decision. He never really stung Kovalev. Never had any chance of knocking him down. But yeah. I thought he was very amateurish, and he's really nothing more than a puncher.
Yeah.
You know, and he got outsmarted. He got outsmarted.
Yeah,
was a shame.
Ward, on the other hand, did get wobbled a couple times with some jabs in the first two rounds.
Yeah, I mean,
he knocked
him down early. He had to fight in the bag, and he backed off. After four rounds, and he backed off. They say he has a killer instinct. He sure in hell didn't show it to me.
No.
I was disappointed. I was very disappointed.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's almost
anybody's
like
got that much power.
It's almost like he lost interest in the
winning.
The fight. Yeah, in the second round, third round, he looks like he just lost the interest in it.
After the third round, he half quit.
Great.
He was going to coast the rest of the fight.
Right.
You know, I mean, he doesn't have that finishing killer instinct. I mean, he should have wiped him out of there. I mean, he should have had all the confidence in the world. How easy he knocked him down, and then he turned around and fought
sure.
a defensive fight, and he lost. He got
yeah.
what the hell he deserved, really.
Hey,
so.
Chris, we have a caller in here from one of our remotes. Our good man Brady Quinn. How you doing, Brady?
Good.
Good. Are you watching the Army-Navy game?
Yeah.
What'd you think of that? Dr. Chris and I were just talking about that.
I haven't really seen a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot the score, though.
You got your report with you?
No.
You want to do your report?
I don't have it.
Oh, okay.
What? Brady, when I was a kid, it was the big game of the year, Army-Navy. We had Davidson Blanchard, and we
right.
worshipped them. And it was so fantastic to watch the Army-Navy game. They were like number one and two in the country when I was your age, you know?
Yeah, they're calling it the American game, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mr.
Yeah.
Inside, Mr. Outside.
Yeah. I used to work at the Army Navy game when the Nylon Brothers had it. Jack Nylon had it.
That was down at Municipal Stadium, right?
Yeah, Municipal Stadium.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
It was great.
I went in 1950. Harry Truman was president.
Uh-huh.
It was freezing. Freezing. I had it. My uncle got me a ticket behind the, we were like on a 50-yard line, four or five rows up. It was unbelievable, but, you know, I was freezing to death. Underdressed,
yeah.
And it was cold. Jesus, was it cold. But that's a long time ago, man. Christ, that's in the 40s, Frank.
Right. I went,
late 40s.
I went every year in the 50s and 60s because I lived right there, and I worked it. When I was in high school, and I had a chance to get there and see it.
Oh yeah, it was a much bigger event then. The war was going on, they did have a great team. Army did have a great team, and Davidson Blanchard stole the show. They were the whole season. They were just great.
Yep.
So,
the
I
Army
still have
just
a little,
won.
You know, they were showing them earlier. In the pregame, they showed Davidson Blanchard, you know, in the earlier parts of the early
yeah.
games. It was fantastic. So is Damon coming on tonight, Frank?
Yeah, I've got the call in just 2 minutes. I was waiting for Frankie to get on to help us out here, but I'm going to call David on the air instead of going off the air.
Hey,
you know, that's hey, Chris, what did you think of Marco Huck was had a fight with Kuchar last week? It didn't seem to go too well for him.
Who was it?
For Kuchar. Kuchar
oh.
and Marco Huck. Marco
yeah,
Huck.
I didn't get it. I missed it, Frank, to be honest with you. I missed it. I didn't. I watched. How long did I watch last week? I think. Can you hear me clearly, Frank?
Yeah.
Well, I got a lot of mix-up. I got a lot of static coming in.
That's the background from Brady's calling from a cell phone.
Oh, okay. But I saw a rerun last night of Joshua Thomas in Brazil.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that one. What you thought about that one?
Well, you know what? Brazil's size kind of nullified Thomas for a while. Thomas is not as good as I thought he was initially. You know, he missed a lot of punches. He wasn't as good as I thought he was. He does need a few more fights before he goes after Klitschko or one of the bigger names, the next step up. But he is a big, strong guy. You know, and he did well. Brazil, I think, what was it, about a 7th, 8th round knockout, something. Yeah. Brazil's awful big, but he has no idea what he's doing. Awful good-sized fighter, but he didn't look like he was in that fight to win it. I mean, he wasn't trying hard enough. Just all he is big. You know, I didn't think much of him. But Joshua's got a lot of potential.
Chris, we're joined by a friend of yours of many years. His dad was one of your best friends. We got Dave Feldman on here. Dave, how are you doing tonight?
Good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Dave. Christ, Dave, how you doing, man? I haven't saw you since...
How are you?
Okay, hanging in there. I went to see your dad right after I talked to you guys. And he didn't have a memory, you know, then. He didn't know who I was for a while. Then all of a sudden, he knew who I was. We had a nice talk for about an hour. I went back again. I brought him a big cherry pie. He said he said the desserts weren't too good there. And he wasn't there. And I tracked him down to the Dunwoody home.
I got him in with me now. So I got him in with me with a full-time caretaker now.
Dave, your dad was a
tremendous
boxer.
Is he doing
boxer.
Any good, Dave?
Nah, Chris.
No, not good.
He just same. You know, he got a little work.
Dave, he had a tremendous series of fights. He was probably one of the toughest guys that ever went into the ring in his weight class. And I know you guys had followed in his footsteps, and God bless him, the man even took people into his house to live so they'd have some place to live. I know you guys must have been crowded, but and now you guys are following in his footsteps in promoting. And this is a great fight to bring Roy Jones Jr. into Wilmington, into the Chase Center. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, well, it's a fight that we tried to make a couple of times in the past, and for whatever reason, it just fell through. And this time, you know, I've been talking to Roy on and off for about a year now, trying to bring this fight here up north. Actually, it was going to land at Atlantic City, but a good friend of mine ran for lieutenant governor in Wilmington, in Delaware, Ciro Papadi, and he just pressured me. And we were able to get it done, and, you know, we brought it to Delaware. And I have to be honest with you, we just did the press conference on Tuesday, and the response we got from Delaware, I don't think we would have got that response anywhere in the world. Unbelievable.
Nice.
I mean,
nice.
Just unreal. So we're happy we brought it there. Should be a good fight. It's, you know, Roy's at the end of his career, absolutely, and he's fighting a guy that's kind of at the end of his career, too, but he has a really big name in the bare-knuckle boxing world. So it's going to kind of be a little bit of an intriguing match.
Yeah, Ciro is Vince Papadi's son, right? Former chief judge?
Ciro Papadi's son. I think Vince Papadi's nephew.
Yeah. I coached the now former congressman, now governor, John Carney at Holy Rosary and then at St. Mark's. He's a great athlete, a great sports fan, and I'm sure he'd be great that you brought. It feels great that you brought that program there. Go ahead.
You got a lot of coverage in the Wilmington paper the last couple of days. I've been buying the paper and reading it. Very good coverage.
Phones are just ringing off the hook, Chris.
Good. Yeah, we also have a good mutual friend that you put on the card too, Joey Tiberi. Chris is very familiar with the family, and Joey's a good friend of ours.
Yeah, he fought for me a couple times in the past. You know, he's just he's not a great boxer per se, but he just comes and walks right to you. He'll fight anybody, and he's right in your chest, and he's for sure going to put on a good show. And at the press conference, he really made me feel very proud and happy that I did put him on the card because he was almost speechless. And, you know, it was just a great feeling that I was able to do something like that and bring this to Delaware and have a guy like Joey Tiberi, who's fought there a couple times, really be happy that we were able to, you know, put him on a card. How many times can anyone say that they fought on a card with probably one of the top 10 fighters of all time? You know, it's not often.
Right.
So he was
very happy. The Tiberis are so well known in Delaware, Dave. It's just go along with boxing. You know what I mean? It's a great family, big family. It's going to help the show and help the draw and help get some interest up in it. You know. So that's a good thing to do.
No, for sure. You were good friends with Dave, and you know how popular they are down there. They are. If you mention boxing in Delaware, if you ever mention boxing in Delaware, they say, "Oh, you know Tiberis?" It's just every time.
Yeah, that's all they remember. Well, they've been fighting for 35 years in the state. I mean, Joe started 35 years ago, Christ, he was an amateur. The first time I saw Joe, he was an amateur. Then Mario came along, and then Pancho came along. Davey was a late bloomer. He was the young little baby of the family. He was a late bloomer, and then he came on good. And they were it. I mean, they held a lot of shows at the hotel there, and they had a lot of amateur shows and a lot of professional shows. Hell, me and Carmen Graziano put the Golden Gloves on down at St. Anthony's when Joe Frazier's came.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we put that on. We brought it out of Philly down to there. And, I had several cards. We put several cards on with Mario heading them and Joe and so forth. Then, of course, Joe went pro. And we didn't put any pro shows on. They were all amateurs.
Right.
But then that hotel started putting Joe on. Had some good shows. And it's a good state for boxing. They'll come out. Hell, it goes back.
They're coming out. You know, like I said, the response so far, we didn't even put one ad out. Just by a couple articles, we're probably at closer to 1,000 tickets sold in the first 4 days.
Nice.
So it's gonna do good. But you know, Roy Jones wants to get paid right. So a sellout, a complete sellout breaks us even. So, but it's a good show to do. For us,
right.
For the state of Delaware, and this,
sure.
You know, just really try to rebuild boxing there.
Yeah, Dave.
What kind of shape?
So that our listeners know, give us the date and the times and how they can get tickets.
The date is a Friday night, February 17th. First fight starts at 7 p.m. Tickets are available at our website, which is firststatefights.com. That's firststatefights.com. It's Delaware's the first state, so firststatefights.com. Tickets range from $75 up to $350 for this fight because, you know, it is Roy Jones, so we have to be able to pay him. So we're getting a great response. We have a lot of celebrities that are going to be in attendance. Adrian Broner, Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury is cousins with Bobby Gunn. Adrian Broner is a good friend of Roy Jones. Antonio Tarver will be commentating. So, you know, we got a lot of star power coming to this event.
Wow.
So we think it's going to be very good for the state. And, again, you buy their tickets at firststatefights.com.
Great. And
Davey, what weight is Roy Jones going to come in at, you know?
He's going to come in around 185, but he's fighting for a WBF Cruiserweight Championship. So,
Cruiserweight?
You know, he could come in as heavy as 200, but he told me he's going to come in around 185.
Mm-hmm. Okay, get himself in shape. Be interesting.
Yeah.
Be interesting.
Yeah, I mean, it will be. It will be because you got one guy at the end of his career, the other guy's, you know, limited, but can, you know, he's in your chest type of fighter. So, you know,
mm-hmm.
it could be a matchup for, you know, it could be a recipe for a great matchup.
Mm-hmm. There was a day, Roy Jones had his day when he was unbeatable. I mean, nobody could touch him. I mean, I'm going way, way, way back. I remember when he unbeatable. I thought he was unbeatable.
I just want to say because he couldn't have been nicer. He couldn't have been, you know, more pleasant to deal with. And what he said really, you know, made me understand why he's fighting. Because everybody says, why is he still fighting? And the number one question is he broke? He's not broke. He's worth a lot of money. He's worth, you know, he's worth in the eight-figure range. So he has his money. He said, God put me on this planet to fight. That's what I was designed to do, to fight. And when God tells me to stop fighting, I'm going to stop fighting. I think I have one or two more fights in me, and I'm going to go for it. So he's not.
Well,
he's got
Bernard Hopkins as an incentive.
That's what he said, too. He said, you know, because Bernard's fighting next week, and his fight is being billed as Final Fight 1. Not Final Fight, just Final Fight 1.
Right.
So there's another one coming.
Sooner or later, David, you realize there's only one unbeatable fighter. That's Father Time. He never lost a fight yet. And they're going, you know, but they keep thinking maybe they got a little more time. Maybe they got a little more time. That's what makes it interesting. You know? Maybe he does have a little more time.
During your press conference, you had mentioned pay-per-view. Has that been worked out yet?
Yeah, we don't have the details yet. We're solidifying everything on Monday, so we'll be able to make that announcement on Monday. But
nice.
You know, Roy Jones is a I think you guys know he's a Russian citizen now. Actually, has dual citizenship. So they're offering, you know, they're offering us something pretty nice to air that fight over there, which is great because that was something we didn't see coming.
Right.
So hopefully that works out for us. But yeah, I'll have pay per view details. Be very inexpensive. It's probably going to be around a $19, you know, $19.95 range. It's not going. We're not trying to knock anyone's socks off. We just want everybody to watch it. But we have to, you know, we have to pay for the fight, so we have to charge something.
Yeah, if we can get in touch with you next week, we'll put all that information out so that our listeners will have it. Yeah, we do carry about between 15,000 and 18,000 listeners in the Delaware Valley area.
Beautiful. Yeah, that would be great. I'd love to come back. You know,
it's
a good show, and you guys love to talk boxing. I love to talk boxing, and you know my dad, so it's a pleasure.
Sure. Frankie, you got any questions for Dave?
No, Dave, did your father have any brothers that fought? I mean, it seems like you guys have really built this into a family affair. I mean, starting with Marty and then, you know, your son and yourself. Is this something that you guys planned on? I mean, did you have other plans for your life and this just kind of happened? Or was this something you all wanted to do?
I think my brother kind of planned on this. I really wanted to stay as far away from it as possible. I really didn't like it at all. Just because my childhood, I mean, you talk about our household, and Chris knows, we had, you know, 8 to 10 fighters living with us at one time. So, you know, it kind of got to me. My brother liked it. He didn't mind it. I didn't like it at all. So I really didn't like boxing really that much at all. But I always trained because you had to train if you lived in that house. If you didn't train, you know, you couldn't live in the house. You had to train. And then Damon got injured on one of his fights, and I was already training, so I stepped in and I fought, and I won a first-round knockout, and went on to have 9 fights, and I was 8-1. So, went pretty good, and then, you know, I went to college. I went to Temple University. I opened up a bar, restaurant. I opened up another one, and then I just got into promoting. You know, I guess if it's in the blood, it's in the blood, and it's going to come out eventually. But right now, you know, I partner with not on this fight, but mainly all the other fights with a guy named Marshall Kaufman. It's with King's Promotions, and we work with Premier Boxing Champions, which is one of the biggest promoters in the country now. So we're probably doing about a show at least once, sometimes two and three times a month right now on Fox TV, Spike, NBC, or ESPN. So, you know, we're staying really busy with this. I love it. It's not a job, right? If you love what you do, you never have to work a day in your life. That's what they say. So, you know, it's time consuming. It's stressful, but I love it. At the end of the day, I love sitting there and watching these guys, you know, train their butts off and fight their hearts out for the fans to get the fans that they want. I love it. I love being a part of it. I love being a part of helping people get to another level. It's a great thing.
Now, do you find it's Philadelphia or the Delaware Valley area is a hard sell since Chris has spoken to this before. Dr. Chris has, you know, there's so many gyms that are just gone now in the area. Do you find it's a harder sell for boxers from outside the area to come into Philadelphia because there's not really that nesting place for boxers anymore?
It definitely did diminish, especially also with the emergence of mixed martial arts. You know, a lot of the, and I have to say it this way because it's the way it is, a lot of the white fighters are now, instead of boxing, they're fighting mixed martial arts. So they're not into the boxing as much as they used to be. But, you know, I think it's still a hotbed for boxing. I mean, all the shows that we do in the Philadelphia area really draw well. We just did about 3 to 4 weeks ago, we did the Danny Garcia fight at Leocora Center, and we drew about 6,000 people. So, I mean, there is a taste for boxing still, but as far as bringing, you know, fighters coming into the city to train and things like that, I think it's picking up a little more now, but it definitely, absolutely, Chris is right, it dipped off dramatically. It's starting to make a little bit of a comeback now as, you know, a lot of the guys went into MMA and now they're, you know, they want to get back into the sweet science. And I think it's on the upward swing now, but it definitely went downhill for a while.
Hey, David, you have a fight, you said, tonight when we talked earlier. Can you tell our fans about that? Maybe we can get somebody to go over there.
We got a fight at the Sands Casino tonight. In Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. We have David Paletta, who just fought. He just beat Robert Guerrera, and he's fighting Jose Rodriguez from Colombia. We also have former world champion in the co-main event, Kermit Cintron. He's fighting Rosenberg Gonzalez, so that should be a good fight. And we got a lot of other up-and-comers fighting Eric Spring and a bunch of other guys from the area there. Up-and-coming fighters, you know, trying to make a name for themselves. But it's a good card, again. It's at the Sands Casino in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania. And the fights actually get started here in about 25 minutes.
Great. And you still work in the 2300 arena and the Sugar House?
We have some shows coming up at the 2300 Sugar House and Harris Casino. And we're doing some things in Atlantic City soon, again, the Boardwalk Hall and Delaware. You know, all really, we're kind of going up and down the East Coast. We have a meeting with MGM just opened up in Baltimore. We have a meeting with them this week and, you know, trying to just expand this thing as much as we can. We work very, very hard at what we do, and it's starting to pay dividends. You know, we're signing a lot of fighters. Our fighters are moving up the ranks, so you know, hopefully one day we can be one of the biggest promoters around.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Chris, you have any more questions for Dave?
No, I was just going to say, you know what's really happened to the Philadelphia area? Amateur boxing has fallen off. There used to be a huge number of amateur fighters in the Philly area. And I think after Pat Duffy died, passed away, the promotions disappeared, the amateur promotions. And he used to promote amateur fights all over, and that brought in a supply of fighters, you know. And the PAL, the 15th PAL, the 18th, all those PAL things, they were fighters all over Philly. There were gyms all over Philly. Great trainers all over Philly. Many great trainers. And I think not only has it happened to Philly, I think it's happened in New York, elsewhere in the country. And it is coming back a little bit with the influx of the Russians and the Mexicans and the Puerto Ricans. They're all coming back into the end of the game. There's so much money in it today as compared to the 50s and the 60s, 70s. But there's just a lot of money. I was shocked myself when I find out what some of these guys are getting paid for these eight-round fights. God, oh, money. And then they're, you know. I mean, if I was a promoter, I don't know how I'd do it. Pay these guys.
Yeah, well, Chris, you know, you're born in the same, you know, era as my father. You're a yesteryear fighter. You fought. You trained. My dad fought and trained. And, you know, when you guys were around and the older fighters, the fighters from yesteryear were around, there wasn't this what they're doing now, 2, 3, 4, maybe 8 amateur fights and turning pro. And these guys fought 40 or 50 or 60 amateur fights and really honed their skills before they turned pro, and that's not happening anymore. And I think that's really what's diminishing amateur boxing, because the guys aren't sticking around to really perfect their craft as much as they want to. They're just jumping in to try to get paid.
When your dad came to Philadelphia, Dave, he came to fight a guy named Bobby Kofor. And when I was a middleweight, mm-hmm. I was fighting. I was in the semifinals. The same year, Kofor won the welterweights, and I was in the semifinals for the middleweights. And the next year, Kofor turned pro, or the next 2 years, that's how your dad came to the city to fight.
Okay.
When I entered the middleweight division in 54, 36 middleweights. 36 middleweights were in my section. That's a lot of fighters in one division. Well, you can imagine how many were around the city. Everybody had two or three middleweights. Chester, Wilmington, the outskirts of town. There's nothing to have 30 guys in your division. That's how many amateur fighters were around. It sounds crazy, but that's how many were there. That's 1954. And I remember
what. Right. I mean, these guys tell me now, they go in amateur tournaments and they go, yeah, I won the tournament. And I go, yeah, who'd you beat? And they go, oh, no, I had a bye. That means there's one guy in their weight division. You know, it diminished so much.
Yeah. Oh, no. And Pat Duffy used to promote them all. He had shows all over the place. And, you know, Lloyd Field had amateur down in Chester. They had amateur fights in Wilmington. Triviani had him in Wilmington. And when the Philadelphia Championships came around, they draw a huge number of fighters. And we used to draw big crowds, too. We had them at the Cambria. My last one was at the Cambria, and that was your dad's last fight. I think he fought the last fight before they closed the Cambria.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think he was the last. It was an 8-round fight. Marty had that was the last fight at the Cambria. Your dad fought there. You probably never had a discussion with him about it, but I did. And I remember going up. I was in dental school at 19, and I remember going to the Cambria and watching those guys finish the tail end of their career. And it died out when I was a freshman. I think 1955, it was the last fight. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah. Your dad probably doesn't remember it now. He can't bring it, but I don't know who the hell would verify it. There's nobody around. At least there's nobody living anymore,
I know.
So damn long ago. But
Russell Peltz would do.
Yeah. Russell might know. Russell was just Russell wasn't even around then. He would have been a kid. But,
yeah, but his father
he might remember just
the,
as a matter of.
His dad was a promoter before him.
Yeah, he was. We had a promoter in South Philadelphia. They fought outdoors all summer long in South Philly, Toppy Stadium. We had outdoor fights. That's where I first saw Howard Johnson and Georgie Benton down there. Rocky Graziano came down. He had a fighter he brought down. I mean, they're going back a long damn ways. But,
real fighters.
We've had what happened. The who's ever the poorest makes your best fighters. You have to be hungry to stay in that game. And there was plenty of hungry fighters around then. I mean, the Depression was just over, not too soon. The Second World War was over, and everybody came home, and there was no jobs. Nothing had started up. You know, the defense jobs all dried up, and there were a ton of fighters. And that's how the Friday night fights got started. You know, there were so many fighters trying to make a buck, and the guys that did, whose careers were ruined by the war, came back and tried out. But there, that was a super era of boxing, you know, late 50s, 50 on through the middle 60s. For you know,
yeah.
The arena promoted fights. Yeah, it was hell.
Dave, I know you got a show tonight, but let me before we let you go here, let me get your thoughts on Terrence Crawford versus John Molina tonight.
I think John Molina is actually gonna you know bring the fight to him and try to give him a fight, but I think Terrence Crawford wins easy.
Okay.
Could stop him in the late rounds, but I think he's gonna win an easy unanimous decision.
Frankie.
I think Terrence is going to win it.
Okay. Chris?
Yeah. Crawford's going to sit back, pick him apart. I mean, he's going to make a brawl of it. Molina will make a brawl of it. But he's not skilled enough to beat Crawford. That's all there is to it. You know?
I'm going to pick him up for next week.
He doesn't have the physical skills to beat him.
I agree. I'm going to pick an upset next week. I say B-Hop loses next week.
Ooh. Chris?
Yeah.
What was that? Who did you predict?
I think
he
Bernard
says he thinks that Bernard's going to lose next week.
Yeah, I don't know a hell of a lot about the other guy he's fighting. You know, but Bernard
he's young,
be,
he's fast.
Bernard can be overpowered now, but I don't know if this guy could do it. I don't know if this guy can overpower Bernard. He can still box, but I don't know. A guy like Kovalev, you don't stand a chance with him. But.
Yeah, you're right. I saw him sparring for this fight, and I just think I'm not saying he's not done or finished, but he's not the Bernard of old, as we all know. I think this guy is just going to be a little too much for him. I mean, look. Bernard pulls every trick in the book out, so we really don't know. But I'm going to go with the other guy. I think he's going to pull up the upset. And I hate to do this, guys, but I really got to run into the arena.
Hey,
it's great speaking
Dave,
with you guys.
We appreciate your time.
We'll talk next week. I'd love to get on again next week.
Great. It's our pleasure. I'll give you a call about the same time.
I don't know what the hell's going to happen.
I'll talk to you during the week.
I don't know enough of the other, you know, about the other guy to predict that fight, but I'll sure hell be one of the curious onlookers, you know.
Sure.
Bernard's going to be the only guy in his 50s ever fought, I think.
51 years old, yeah.
What?
he takes George Foreman.
I think it's comical.
Yeah.
51.
Yeah. Frankie, what do you think, Bernard Hopkins or Joe Smith?
You know, Bernard Hopkins is definitely a freak of nature.
Right.
You know, it like they were saying, this is going to be his first last fight. I mean, win or lose, he's going to fight again.
Right.
I don't know. I can't. If he wins, he's going to squeak it out.
I think I'm going to go with Joe Smith. He's supposed to be—he gets right up in your face, which Bernard doesn't like. He doesn't like you punching inside, but he's going to take it to him, and I think it's going to be a brawl. It's not going to be an easy walk for either one of them, but I think he'll get him on the points. The other one I want to ask you guys about was. The Cellular and Abner Maris tonight. Chris, what do you think of that one?
You know, Abner Maris is a real tough fighter, you know? I mean, I'd hate to bet against him. He can do it all. He can
right.
do it all. So I don't know what to say. I don't know a hell of a lot. I do know one thing, Frank, and we all missed it. Lomachenko outboxed that fighter so bad, the guy quit in the corner without getting hurt or without getting punched. He frustrated that guy so bad, he quit.
Yeah, he wouldn't come out after
the fourth
round. Yeah, he wouldn't come out after the fourth round. No.
He could not touch him.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anybody do that for a long time.
Yeah.
I was shocked. I mean, the guy was so frustrated. Every time he went back to his corner didn't know what the hell to tell him. I mean,
right.
every move he made, Lomachenko rubbed it out, so to speak. He could.
Right.
What a fighter!
Yeah.
That was a hell of a fight. I'm anxious to see. I don't know who could give him a good test anymore. I don't know who's left in that weight class to even touch him. But Maris is a tough guy. If he, matter of fact, what weight class is Maris at now? 30 or 35?
I think he's 26.
I thought he moved up.
He did. He fought in the super world featherweight fight. He fought Leo Santa Cruz, but he lost. Yeah.
Well, Lomachenko, if the winner take the winner of tonight's fight and put him in a ring with Lomachenko, and you'll see something. I'm hoping one of them looks good enough that they'll put him in there with Lomachenko. I don't know
sure.
who the hell would want to fight him. He made that guy 2 weeks ago look like a fool. That was a shame.
Uh-huh.
I mean, he just nullified the guy to zero. Everything the guy tried, he just couldn't do anything with him. He just quit.
Sure.
I got a kick out of it. He's a big Willie Pep. He can punch harder than Pep ever could punch, and he's damn
great.
Near as good a boxer. So, going to be a formidable opponent. So,
yeah.
We'll see what happens. David, there's one for you. Put him on. Get him on.
Yeah, he had to leave. We'll ask him next week. He wants to come back next week, so we'll ask him next week.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I was so disappointed in the Kovalev fight, and I watched the other one. I thought, man, what a great fight that was. So I kind of made up for it, how Kovalev coasted and lost the damn thing.
Yeah.
Jesus, God. He gets in the lead, and he looks like a bum after he gets in the lead. But Abner Maris, he always gives you a good fight, Frank. I mean, he's there to fight.
Yeah.
He's there to win. You know, he can punch. He's tough.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah, it's the other one I wondered about was the Parker fight, but that went off at I think at 5 o'clock this evening, and Parker did win. He beat Ruiz. Ruiz, they said, when you looked at the fight, I was going between that and the Army-Navy game. Ruiz, about the fourth or fifth round, just seemed to realize he was being overpowered, and he just coasted from there on out. I mean, he hit him a couple times hard, but after he realized how hard he was getting hit, he tried to protect himself more than anything else, and that's why he lost the fight.
I'd be anxious to see that.
Yeah.
That guy's awful big to be overpowered. You talk about Ruiz, the big heavyweight, right?
Yes. Yes. He fought Joseph Parker today.
Wow.
Yeah.
That surprised the hell out of me.
Yep.
And Parker's better than we thought he was, then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get the thing up here. Yeah, Ruiz wanted to be the first Mexican-American heavyweight champion, but didn't work out that way. He dominated the early rounds, like I said, and then he just lost, to start losing points, and just gave up and just went into a protect mode. So, then we got Frankie. We got Julio Cesar Chavez coming back in tonight. I mean, how many more times can this guy get back in the ring? You know, he's
what's he weigh now?
167 and a half.
Are you kidding me? He got all the way back to 160.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But so
maybe he'll show up in shape.
I hope so.
you're talking about Junior or Junior. Yeah, Junior.
Junior.
Last time I saw him, he was a light heavy.
Yeah.
He didn't want to fight at 168 anymore. And he realized that was a tough division. I guess he's dropping back to 68. Well, you know what? He never really had what it takes to go all the way and stay there. He just, you know, followed in his father's footsteps. He had a huge number of setups. And I never was a fan of his. I just never was a fan. I was of his father, but not of him. That's all. So,
you know, Dr. Chris, I really think there were some times where Chavez Sr. was handed some fights. So, you know, there were some fights where he definitely lost.
That's what I say. Hand-picked opponents all the way, and he was favored, handed victories that he didn't deserve, and that's no question about it, you know?
Like the Meldrick Taylor fight, I thought that he lost that, and there were a couple fights that I really thought that he lost, and he was handed, but, you know, back then, you know, boxing was in its, it was still kind of at its peak, and it wasn't, you know, because they still had Tuesday night fights, and they had all this stuff, and now you just don't have the interest, and to be honest, I mean, MMA is just, I think it's an abomination, personally, because, you know, you think you had problems with guys, well, back then they called it punch drunk, but now we know it as encephalopathy. But you think you had problems, you know, with these boxers who have gotten older and have shown the encephalopathy. Wait until some of these MMA fighters start killing themselves. Because those guys take a beating.
Oh, yeah. Well, Jesus Christ, they're getting kicked in the head. I thought you were talking about I was talking about the son, and you got on the father. He was handed. He was handed the Pernell Whitaker fight.
Right.
that was an obvious loss. The father, out of respect and the awesome fighter that he was earlier in his career, I think he coasted. You know, they gave him decisions he didn't deserve. No question about it. There's no question in my mind he did not beat Pernell Whitaker or deserve a draw, whatever. I even forget what the hell it was. But
we're joined by our number one sponsor, Dr. Casey Carroll. Casey, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
You guys hear me? Good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We have no problem. I know you have something you wanted to bring the attention of our listeners, and we wanted to give you the time to do that. So take it away.
I did, and I appreciate it. I wanted to talk to you guys about St. Peter's Cathedral. You guys know, all of you know that it's near and dear to all of our hearts because of the memories we had there growing up. And probably about a month or so ago, I had gone on their Facebook page, and they were offering up people could donate to make nameplates and have them either put on chairs or bookshelves or doorways to classrooms and things like that because they were trying to raise funds. And so I had purchased two, one for myself and one in memory of Bobby. And when they sent me the pictures of them up at the doors, they sent me an email with other pictures of the kids in the school, which looked exactly the same as it did when we were growing up. And I explained to the lady that it was really important to us and the memories we had there. And I love the fact that school looked exactly the same. And I told her that we were there when the school was slated to be closed and how our parents fought to keep the school open. And she responded and said, unfortunately, they're in a similar position right now. And that's why they're doing this fundraising. And they're trying to reach out and get as many alumni as they can involved. You know, if there's anyone that wants to reach out to the school and donate in any way to the school, they would greatly appreciate it. So
okay. They
do have a Facebook page. It's St. Peter's Cathedral School. And you can contact them. You can message them through that. Or you can email, I guess, I don't know, Dad, you want to give out your email address
or
something?
They can contact us through fightwords@gmail.com.
Okay. So, yep. And we can get the information out to them as far as if they want to donate by either
right. Doing
a nameplate or just helping out in any other way the school might need. I would love to see the school continue to thrive because
yep. It's
brought us a lot of great memories.
Yep, that's for sure. In fact, we always talk about, we talk fights on Saturday night, and one of the best fights Frankie ever saw was who, Frankie?
Sister Sandra and Donald Poon.
Frankie, who pulled the fire alarm?
I wasn't there.
Oh, my God. Well,
I
think that when the Piavosas went at it, I think that was a pretty good fight, too, though. That was pretty good. One of our
I wasn't there when that fire alarm got pulled. Don't you remember? I stayed to play soccer.
You didn't go to NIAC?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, all I know is that before it was pulled, we saw Ty peeking in the window of the little area that they were keeping us in. So I'm blaming Ty. So, but I appreciate you guys letting me come on. I just, if anyone is interested in reaching out and helping, it would be, it's a great cause. It's a great little school in Wilmington, Delaware. And if we can help them keep their doors open again, it would be great.
Good deal.
All right, thank you very much.
Appreciate
the time.
Appreciate it.
All right, happy holidays.
All right.
Bye-bye. Thanks. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Frank, you were saying about the MMA, I wondered the same thing. They look like they're beat to hell after a few years in that thing. Between Galloway, I mean, how many elbows can you take to the face, the back of your head, kicks, and Jesus, God, what a brutal sport. Back when you were allowed to gouge, kick, and bite in professional fighting, they outlawed that, and they made the Marquess of Queensbury rules and did all, you know, that all went out the window. And you were allowed to stand over top of a guy and hit him when he was on one knee. I mean, it was brutal. Now these MMA guys, Christ, they're out cold on their back if somebody jumps from 6 feet away and smashes them in the face with an elbow. Or I thought, man, this is brutal. These guys better think about what they're going to look like when they're 45 years old. And they better ease up on it. I mean, the public could do without seeing somebody get elbowed in the damn face. You know?
Yeah. They're going to be drooling in their applesauce long before 45.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. I watched last night the movie Concussion. And I thought about that. I said, holy Christ. I said, we got a whole new generation of these guys coming up. You know?
Right. Right.
Chris, you may find this interesting, you know, with your medical background. I read a report where they've actually shown where post-concussion encephalopathy has actually been found in people that only played high school football. You know, it's the problem is we don't know enough about it, you know, but you're never going to get away from pugilistic sports. Unfortunately, pugilism is one thing that it's universal. In the human race, we love to see two people beat the shit out of each other. And I'm on the show, so I'm just as guilty as anybody else. But you know, with this MMA, I won't watch it. It just, you know, I don't care about the violence and everything. But you're seeing two guys that are literally pummeling themselves and putting literally their lives on the line. You know, so some jerk who's wearing a tap out T-shirt that the only thing he's ever tapped out is his
ATM.
Yeah. Yeah, his ATM is.
You won't get any argument from me on that. I think you're right. The worst is yet to come in that sport. They're making a lot of money on it. You guys are fighting too often, and they're rerunning the shows. I don't think those guys are getting a cut of the reruns. You talk about mismanagement in boxing. Christ, these guys are worse. These guys are worse.
Yeah, you're
than
talking.
Managers
Some of these guys, you're talking weeks turnarounds. You got to fight next week. Oh, you got to fight that. Oh, you got to go over here. You got to, and they're not giving them time to heal. You know, some of these guys, I've seen some of these guys come back 8 weeks after broken hands and fingers and stuff like that. There's no way. It's one thing to go back to work where you're doing a job. It's an entirely other thing when you're taking that same broken finger or hand or arm or something and you're subjecting it to that kind of punishment again. Certainly, you know, where the break was, it's stronger. But, you know, the body has had to put so much energy into healing that break. There's other areas that are weaker. So, you know, that's why you see these broken legs from these kicks that you wouldn't think would do that. You know, and it's just, you know, it's really a brutal, brutal sport.
My brother played high school football and had two concussions. His head was never right the rest of his life. Never was right. He had headaches the rest of his life from it.
Yep.
He never, I mean, that's just like you say, high school football. High school football. And I always said this. I played the level of Delaware. I got that high up in football. Football's harder on the brain than boxing. My head hurt worse after football practice than it ever did after a sparring session. I mean, it's constantly. You're out there 2 hours. Bang, bang, bang. I mean, the early 50s, the helmets were lousy. We had no nose guards. I mean, you took a lot of head shots. Spearing was allowed. Head hitting was allowed. I mean, I used to go home and try to study. Hell, I just closed the books, and that was it. I didn't have the concentration. My head was aching. You know, football, pro football, the worst is coming on all of that, the head injuries.
Yeah.
I saw a coach that goes through an entire week and he doesn't let his players ever make contact. No head contact, no scrimmaging before a game. They play strictly with no pads once the season starts. They never put the net, they never hit again. And that's maybe going to be the trend in football. The less and less and less hitting. You know, every guy that I went to college with had back surgery from hitting that sled. Even the little halfbacks and the fullbacks and the guys that were 180 pounds, they had back surgery. I mean, we were linemen. We'd hit that sled real hard with a big, heavy coach on it. It just jammed your discs, you know, in your lower disc, your lumbar area. And over the years, every guy that I talked to that I played freshman and sophomore year football with, had back surgery. So it comes on you later on in life, these injuries. And these guys, the MMA is going to suffer terribly. Those guys are going to suffer. No question about it. And that's too brutal. So,
yeah.
But boxing is, you know, I see a lot of old fighters around that had 40, 50, 60 fights. They're still living. I mean, I see a lot of them have no effects at all of this sport. But it's not going to be that way to guys that are fighting MMA, that's for sure. 50 fights in the MMA, you'll be underground, you know, quick. So we'll see.
Well, guys, we're at the end of our hour here, so Frankie, you want to lead us out?
Yeah, I just want to thank everybody for tuning in and helping to keep Bob's dream alive. Come on back next week and let's do another great show.
Great, Chris.
All right, Frank. I don't have much to say. I'm glad this fight's on tonight because I just ate a big meal and I feel lazy, so I'm not going to work out. I'm just going to hang around and watch a couple of good fights. All
great.
Right, I'll see you guys next week then.
All right, take care, Chris.
All right, take it easy, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week in grateful appreciation to the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, the men and women of the Police and Fire Services. When you're out there and you see somebody in a uniform, please just let them know you know they're there. A handshake, a wink, anything. The best thing you can ever say to anybody in uniform is, be safe, my brother or my sister. These programs are also dedicated to those who have lost their lives in the line of duty. Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Batinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Newcastle County Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Patrolman Onofa Chrisman, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogo, Long Lucie Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PA Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Sean Collier, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Jonathan Scott Pine, Orange County, Florida Sheriff's Department, Patrolman Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida Police Department, Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Joyce Craig Lewis, Philadelphia Fire Department, Patrolman Charlie Condit, Tarpon Springs Police Department, Sergeant Robert Wilson, Philadelphia Police Department, Louisiana Trooper Steve Vincent, Harris County Deputy Sheriff Darrell Goforth, Prince William County Deputy Sheriff Ashley Gidden, Euless, Texas Patrol Officer David Heffer, Hillsborough County Deputy Sheriff Charlie Kotloff, Captain Chris Leach, Wilmington Fire Department, Lieutenant Jerry Ficus, Wilmington Fire Department, Sergeant Paolo Salto, New York Police Department, FDLE Inspector Vincent Delaccio, and our latest addition tonight, Lieutenant Artie Hope, Wilmington Fire Department. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the roads rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields. The sun shine lightly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hallow of his hand. Good night. God bless and have a good week.
Shem alek ma yilama, shem ahezah yilama, son ashen evorat fet, hakuig again ma yilama. Spirit of
County Dispatch to 1999. County Dispatch to 1999. All units be advised, 1999 has responded to his last emergency. May God rest his soul, the souls of the faithful departed.
Good night, Bob. We love you. We miss you. Good night, Frank. We love you.
Good night.